I felt it's important to talk about our second reading for today, because after you hear it, St. Paul talking about marriage, some of you may be thinking, whoa, what does St. Paul have against marriage? Did he have some kind of bad breakup in his youth or something and kind of made him just swear off girls forever or something? It seems that St. Paul is saying that those who are married have this disadvantage than those who are unmarried in ways of the Lord. Like being single is somehow more pleasing to God. But this is not it at all. St. Paul has nothing against marriage. And God does not think that marriage is less worthy or displeasing to him than being single. It's important in these times to understand the context. The church at Corinth, where St. Paul is writing to, is a young church, and they're trying to figure things out, and they're dealing with these issues of celibacy and marriage. So St. Paul is giving them advice on how to handle this. Just prior to this reading, he states in the letter that what he is saying is not a command of the Lord, but simply his advice. And so what follows, which includes our reading then in the letter, is not moral law, it's not a commandment given to the church, but it's simply practical advice from a man deeply in love with our Lord. So St. Paul writes that married men and women will be anxious about things of the world, while the unmarried men and women, and when unmarried here, St. Paul means celibate men and women, will be anxious about things about God. What's funny here is that we're all going to be anxious. It's just we're all going to be anxious about different things. But St. Paul says we're all going to be anxious. I guess none of us can get out of that. But married people will be anxious of things of the world. So those of you out there are married. Are you anxious of things of the world? And do I, as a married man, have anxieties of the world? You bet I do. I have my job, I have a mortgage, I have taxes, 2 car payments, college funds, 2 kids to take care of, and the list goes on and on that my wife and I have to deal with in the world. But for most single people, I mean, unless you live like in a monastery or a cloister or something like that, you have the same anxieties that I do as well. Maybe not all the same, but you have a few extras that I don't have to worry about, like dating. Thank goodness I don't have to deal with that anymore. So we all have anxieties of the world. So what is St. Paul talking about then? Their anxieties is about pleasing the Lord. It's about being in right relationship with Jesus Christ, about growing in faith and love with our Savior, and joyfully proclaiming the good news, because this is what pleases him. And now St. Paul, in this regard, is right. The single person has advantages here. The time outside of their job is your own. You don't need to worry about getting home in time for dinner, getting the kiddos to and from school or to bed or to soccer practice, etc., etc. Unmarried people do have more freedom with their time. So the question then, so if you are single, then how are you spending that time, is what St. Paul would stress to you. Is it pleasing to our Lord? Now, I've seen young adults here at our parish who go to adoration often. They go to daily mass frequently. They come to our young adult pour it out ministry on Thursday evenings. They volunteer, you know, before the pandemic often, and they do as they can during our pandemic. These things are very pleasing to our Lord. For us married folk, it's a little different because we have families. We cannot always just, at the whim, go and do volunteer work when the kids have to get to bed. We cannot always pray or serve at the time when we want to, when we are asked to. We have commitments, especially if you have little children. But even for us, even for those parents, there are opportunities to please the Lord. Because marriage itself is one of those ways. Marriage between a man and a woman is a sacramental expression of the love of God. A man and a woman are joined into one, just as Jesus Christ and his church are joined. And the union of a man and a woman is not just intended to be biologically fruitful, but spiritually fruitful as well, not just for themselves, but for their children. The married couple pleases the Lord then in their union when it is in cooperation with God's love. And when the expression of a love for a spouse or a child also becomes an extension of God's own love. But marriage can lead to unique difficulties. And this is what St. Paul is warning about for married people. When a married person in the tent is to please his or her spouse, and it is not in cooperation with God's love, then the troubles can arise. And this happens when the desires of the world and desires of the flesh then take priority over the desires of God. The couple who works long, hard hours to make money, to buy a bigger house in a better neighborhood, to buy the best cars, to buy the fancy clothing, the latest gadgets, and all the toys. This family says they're looking after their family. I'm just buying these things to take care of my family. I only want what's best for my family. Meanwhile, they give nothing to the poor. And they have no time because they're so busy working, no time to serve in ministry, no time for prayer. Then there's a family that has so many activities going on in their lives. There's the sports, the clubs, the social gatherings, the activities, these taxi service parents. So many extracurricular activities going on that they never sit together as a family, never sit together to eat dinner or to pray or even to talk. These marriages, these anxieties, these distractions of the world then, they are devouring these types of families, destroying them. The married man and the woman in these situations are divided. They have things of the world and things of the Lord, but too often the things of the world then take precedence. This is St. Paul's concern. So what are we to do? Well, St. Paul is not saying, don't get married. He explicitly says that in the reading. But for the single person, use your time wisely in devotion to our Lord. Always remember you are in the world, but not of the world. You are a child belonging to the family of God, so act like it. Now, for the married man or woman, this applies to you as well. But your job actually is a little tougher because you must also not let your heart be divided. Because marriage is all about learning to live your life in service to another. Married people must be self-sacrificing, always placing another's needs before our very own. Married couples must learn what it is to forgive and also to ask for forgiveness. Married people, if they are to be good wives and husbands, must learn to take up their cross daily and follow Christ. This builds relationships. This builds marriages. And then when they do this, then their marriage, they are no longer divided. These lessons are for anyone actually striving to grow in holiness, and they must learn these lessons, whether they're married or single. It applies to all of us. But the way those lessons are learned are in different contexts depending on your vocation. So will the good of the other celebrate in the sacraments and walk humbly with your Lord. Strive to do what is pleasing to him in your daily life. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you salvation and he will give you peace.